reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We look forward to your questions, comments, and involvement in the broadcast. Our broadcast is designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the questions, invite you to join in with your questions, your comments, and dialogue on the issue. Today we're talking about an issue that I believe is fitting when we recognize the condition of the nation, the condition of our world. I believe it's fitting to ask the question, does God know everything? Does God know everything? You might say, well, that's an unusual question. Surely he knows everything. Well, somehow, some way, there's a mindset with some, in fact, in some theological circles, some doctrinal circles, some preaching, teaching circles today, there's a mindset somehow, some way, that God doesn't know everything, that we have to inform him of some things. In fact, there's one preacher that's on the television network with a huge crowd that says, I am God. I am God Almighty. What was he meaning? He said, we're made in God's image, and so therefore we can say, I am God. Is that theologically true? Is that biblically sound? Unequivocally, no, it is not. We need to analyze Scripture. I believe it's in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, where there's a charge to Christians to be a Berean Christian. Search the Scriptures, see if it be true. I believe there's a need today to search the Scriptures and see if it be true. A lot of things that's being said. We live in a world today that has exceeding knowledge, knowledge beyond any possible belief 50, 60 years ago that we'd ever have. We've increased in the availability, every subject, every issue. We have telephones, television, high-speed internet, the AI, artificial intelligence, now provides information at the touch of a button. We have information coming out of our fingertips. And yet somehow, some way, the one that we need to know more about, God himself, seems to elude multitudes. Multitudes have Bibles. It collects dust. Multitudes of Christians. In fact, less than half of the Christians, about 50%, 42% of those that were surveyed said they read the Bible. About 7% of those said they read the Bible maybe once a year. And the percentage diminishes. How can we know God if we do not know his word? God's word is his progressive revelation of himself to man. And God's knowledge is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. The word omniscient means all-knowing. We're going to talk about that today and love to hear from you. Perhaps you have questions about it. We'll get down to the nitty-gritty of what happens when a person misinterprets the Scripture about the foreknowledge of God. What does he know in advance? We'll talk about that today. But the serious question, does God know everything? If he does, why does he? I believe it was Rabbi Kushner back in the 60s or 70s, maybe 80s, had written a book, a small little book. He had a 16-year-old son that had died in a very horrific death. And his question was, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? We could reverse that. Why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? That'd be a good title, by the way. We'll talk about that as we look at the subject matter of the issue today. And by the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest you have forgotten, as we face the issues, we do so through the prism of the Word of God. We look at every issue, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, political, societal, militarily, monetarily, whatever position, whatever subject, we look at it through the prism of the Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, according to Psalms 117:2, that remains forever, endures forever. You heard me say before, how long is forever? It's forever. And yet we have those today in all avenues, in all venues of society, that want to reject truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that made the statement that is so profound. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. If you're on the left coast or the right coast, truth still matters, and everything in between. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. And may I encourage you with the words, a quote from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Huss made this statement: "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day. We need to learn the truth, seek it, love it, learn it, live it, tell it, and be ready to stand and defend it, even to death. God charges us with that responsibility. Every Christian needs to be salt and light. Salt preserves a decaying society. Light illumines a darkened world. And if we stay in the shaker, we'll not preserve society. If we stay hidden as Christians, our light will never illumine a darkened world. We need to be salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, "How do I find Tools for Time?" Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have at the set with me today. We're round, at the round table in the studio. We have Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis that's with us. We're going to be talking about this subject. Does God know everything? Dr. Phelps, make an introduction statement, and Dr. Davis, do so, and we'll get started with our question and answer series today.
Wonderful it is we have a God who knows the end from the beginning. I'm so thankful that I serve a living and true God and the God of truth. God reveals his truth in the scriptures. God's truth is impeccable. It is unchangeable. I'm so thankful today that we have a Bible and we have the Spirit of God who helps us to understand God's truth. And we need to acknowledge, we need to allow the Spirit of God to be our helper and our teacher in this manner. And today we trust that each of you who is listening, that you will consider this, that God wants you to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And how wonderful it is that you can know the truth, because God has said and promised that each of us may call upon the help of the Spirit of God to help us to know the truth. We have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And Romans, in Paul's book, we call the Romans book of the Bible, we find these promises are so true for the person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing Christians can know the truth of God.
And the key to it is, Dr. Phelps, if I can hang on to what you said, God has given us a book introducing himself, telling us who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. And I find so many times a person say, well, how do you know God? My question is, do you have a Bible? There's God's revelation of himself. Our problem today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, we have so many that say they're saved, say they love God, but they know nothing about God because they do not study the Word and know the Word. Dr. Davis, introduce some thoughts.
Amen. Just want to thank God for being here today. Good morning to my bride of 40 years and all my family and friends that are listening on today, those of you that I invited to listen by way of ilovethetruth.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I want to say a special thanks, amen, to all the men in blue back in Folkestone, Georgia, amen, the police department, as well as our volunteer firefighters that are in the city of Nahanna, Georgia, and Brantley County, that's helping the families over there to fight the fires, amen, around the clock, putting their lives on the line and their best interests ahead for the sake of others. Thank you to each and every one of you, and our prayers and our thoughts go out to everyone that have lost the material things in the fire, and maybe some things you may not ever recover again, but thank God for life.
Yes.
Amen. You still have life and you still have a chance. So I want to say thank God for that. Thank God for this subject, Dr. Youngblood, about foreknowledge, and I thank God for having foreknowledge, because for me, the way I look at this, as I examine the truth of Scripture pertaining to this, this lets me know that he has put stops in place to prevent us from destroying our lives by the bad choices we can sometimes make.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God for his great foreknowledge.
Absolutely. You touched on something that I think we need to pause for a moment and pray about. You touched on what's happening in Brantley County, Nahanna, in that area. I believe you said this morning some 90 homes have already been destroyed. Several thousand. What is it? How many acres now?
About 5,000 acres.
About 5,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Davis, let's take a moment, and if you would pray for those in that area, for those to be safe, and for those that are the first-liners out trying to put the fire out and prevent harm. Pray for us.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in the humblest way we know how, telling you thank you for your many blessings you bestowed upon us. Father, we ask and pray right now in the name of Jesus, as we come together to touch and agree. Father, we're asking you to intervene in a divine way. Send a shower from heaven, Lord God, that will help the firefighters in their fight against the wildfires. And then comfort the hearts of those, my God, who have lost everything in the fires. Let them know that they can replace the material things, but life can never be replaced. You told us in your word that life is more than meat, and body is more than the raiment, and that the birds of the air do not work. They do not work for a living, But Father, you still provide for them in the name of Jesus. And we're asking you to do the same for them right now. Strengthen, comfort, and keep each and everyone that is involved in these wildfires, both in Florida and in Georgia. Father, trouble is everywhere, but you're still the only right thing we got left in this wrong world. And we're reaching out to you right now in a mighty way, because we know that you can do anything but fail. Do it right now, Father, and we tell you thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for praying for that and for us, Dr. Davis. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue. Does God know everything? And I think that it's time we answer that question very forthrightly and very honestly. We know a lot about a lot of things. We have colleges and universities that are teaching students areas of, how would you say, discipline that you might know, that you can get a good job, have a good profession, et cetera, et cetera. But what I believe we're doing, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, we're educating people today in every realm except for knowing God, knowing who God is. I believe it is important for a Christian in particular to know God, who he is, and the attributes of God. What are the attributes of God? I'm looking at a umbrella of sorts that I developed a number of years ago in teaching theology proper. Theology proper, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the doctrine of God. And under that umbrella, you see the umbrella being God's sovereignty. You see God is omnipotent. God is immutable, that's unchangeable. God's foreknowledge, that is, he knows before. Everything that happened, has happened, shall happen. He knows in advance. God's omniscient, he knows everything. God's omnipresence, he is everywhere at any time. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that as we think on that subject, we need to ask the question, what's the most important thing? I'm finding, ladies and gentlemen, to our sadness from the Christian perspective, more and more people are wanting an associate of arts, a master of arts, bachelor of arts. They're wanting a degree in the arts and the disciplines, but not interested in studying God. Who is God? Who is God? What does he say? What does he do? The very thing that we ought to get to know better is God. But because very, very, very low number of individuals that read the Bible, study the Bible, and understand it, are finding, we find today that really, multitudes do not know God, have not read the Bible, studied the Bible, to recognize it. Many views of God as being simply, their view is that God's the holy water boy. Whatever I want, I tell God, God brings it to me. He's to deliver goodness by filling our cup. In fact, Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, a number of years ago, I watched on television as a preacher pulled his checkbook out of his jacket pocket, held it toward heaven, and he said, anytime my bank account gets low, all I've got to do is command God to refill my bank account. That's the mindset that people have about God. He is the holy horseshoe. He is the divine rabbit's foot. That's all he's there to do and all he's going to do at our beck and call. My question is that the way God operates? There's never a need today, I believe, any more than for people to know God and to know about God and what God knows. So the question is, does God know everything? Perhaps the more serious issue is, as we face it in theological circles today, is that subject within the confines of theology proper of knowing God, the doctrine of God, is the question of God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge. God sends, there's those today that will teach God's foreknowledge, says that God sends some to heaven and some to hell. It's called predestination. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In God's foreknowledge, what does it mean? What does it connote? What does the Bible say about God's foreknowledge? Does God not know anything other than what he sees? I simply put it this way, then I'm going to bounce it over to you men. I put it on this basis. God doesn't have to read tomorrow's newspaper to know what's going to happen tomorrow. God doesn't have to wonder what President Trump is going to do in office. God doesn't have to wonder what we're going to do before we get up in the morning. God doesn't have to wonder what is going to take place in the Islamic world. And I'm using all of those just as arbitrary, capricious illustrations that God knows everything from the beginning to the very end. God knows it all. But here's a question. Because God knows it all, his foreknowledge, Does that mean that in what is called, theologically speaking, the decrees of God, does God decree who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost? What about the free will of man? How does that fit into the big picture of the sovereignty of God and God's allowing man to make a volitional choice? Those are some of the questions, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to deal with. We need to ask the question, be very, very careful about the terms. Dr. Phipps, you've said several times on other broadcasts that many times we find those that are teaching false doctrine, false theology, they re-identify terms. They give new definitions for words. Speak to that for a moment, and then share your general introductory thoughts about God's foreknowledge.
Well, I'm thoroughly convinced that God is all-knowing. And every time I pick up my Bible, I'm reminded that we have scriptures in the Old Testament that we may speak of as prophetic scriptures. And one of those areas is what God had to say in prophecy concerning the coming of Christ. That begins in Genesis. God, and it goes all the way to the end of the Old Testament. And I understand from reading some of the writings of theologians and Bible believers that there are about 300 plus prophecies concerning Christ that have already been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So God knew what would happen regarding the coming of Christ. He has that ability to tell us in the scriptures. And that is one of the reasons why we can be convinced that the scriptures are true. We're reading truth. But God is all-knowing. The only true God is over all knowledge and wisdom. He's Lord. He has knowledge of everything. Psalm 145 and 147 tells us, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And it was the Apostle Paul who declared the truth, how that God is all-wise. 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God's knowing ability may be stated in terms of foreknowledge, present knowledge, and future knowledge. That's a really good, easy way to remember what that's talking about in the scriptures. The divine attribute of foreknowledge means that God knows beforehand what will happen. Hear this now. It's the exclusive prerogative of the only true God to know everything about the entire universe, past, present, and future. The foreknowledge of God means that God knows beforehand what will happen.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at my section on that subject in my lecture notebook on theology proper, the doctrine of God. And I have that statement, all-knowing, comes into the realm of omniscience, all-knowing. And that means all knowledge, perfect, complete, total knowledge of all things. God's understanding is infinite and his intelligence is perfect. There's nothing that he does not know. Now, Dr. Davis, some might have the question, if God knows everything, and he does, when Adam and Eve was placed in the garden and they sinned, did God not know they would do that? Why? And I've had people ask the question, if God knows everything, why did he allow Adam and Eve to sin? Answer that.
Well, let me start off with the definition that I wrote down about foreknowledge. It refers to divine omniscience regarding future events, meaning God knows all things that will happen with absolute certainty, mm-hmm. not mere probability.
Right.
Now, based upon that definition right there, once again, when you look at God being a God of absolutes, that means there is no higher knowledge, no higher authority, or no higher form of life than what emanates from God.
Mm-hmm.
God is the source. He's not the resource.
That's right.
So, based upon his absolute certainty, once again, I'm very sure, especially when I look at the pages of Scripture and see the thing that happened ever since God gave man the power of choice. I'm absolutely certain that he was certain that once man took advantage of the power to choose, he was going to sin.
That's right.
He was not going to do it right.
Wait, that's it. Well, here's the bottom line. God created us in his image, and God has volitional choice. We have volitional choice. We can make a decision to say yes for Jesus or no for Jesus. We can get up in the morning, and as I use the term, I can decide what color tie I'm going to put on, or I can decide not to wear a tie. And the point that I want our listeners to understand, God is all-knowing. And we're getting to a point, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his all-knowing. We're talking about his foreknowledge. We're going to get to the point in a minute in this conversation that is the pivotal discussion of today's subject about the question, does God know everything? If he does in his foreknowledge, then what does it mean when in some theological doctrinal circles there's a statement that in God's foreknowledge he predestined some to hell and some to heaven? That's a false, phony, fake theology and doctrine that's being promulgated across denominational lines today. Some say, well, I don't need to do anything. If I'm saved, I'm saved. If I'm lost, I'm lost. I can't make a choice because God's going to have to do it all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at Romans, the 11th chapter, and verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Ladies and gentlemen, it staggers the imagination when we think about the breadth and the depth and the unsearchableness of God's knowledge, because he is God. Why does God know it all? Because he's God.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we consider how we plan things, because of age, and because of the wisdom that we've acquired down through the years, many times we have to put stops in places to prevent things from getting out of hand. You know, and I'm just using for an example. Sometimes you sit down and you plan the way you want things done, and then you say, if I do this, this will happen. But if I don't do this, that will happen. I'm pretty sure that that's the same perspective that God used when he gave man the power to choose. He said, if I give this man the power to choose and don't put certain stops in place, he's going to destroy himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have to thank God for that, because once again, we don't even know what we need or what we really need to have, in other words, ourselves. So it took God to go ahead and plan that out in advance so that if we made the wrong choice, once again, we wouldn't totally destroy ourselves.
Yes, well, that's the fact of God's foreknowledge and his sovereignty that many fail to recognize. Dr. Phelps, we got about a minute now before our news break. Take a moment to jump in the discussion.
One of the great things that I've learned is that God is great, and he rules over all. Yet the Lord allows us to choose or refuse to serve him. God respects human will. He does not overrule the will of man in the matter of choosing to serve the Lord. There are two examples that we find in the scriptures, and one of those has to do with this matter of choosing for self or choosing to the glory of God.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize this portion of the broadcast. God's omniscient. He knows all present things, he knows all possible things, and he knows all potential things. That's all-knowing, and that's in the sovereignty of God, and it's in his foreknowledge that he knows it all. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University, in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.